Konnichiwa. It is the Loftus Konnichiwa. Party. Yeah, Konnichiwa. You found it. It's a fantastic Loftus Party. We got some statistics in, and I say Konnichiwa because some people in Japan listen to the show.
Hell yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It's awesome.
Here's where we're big. First of all, welcome, everybody. I'm Michael Loftus. We've got some friends here today. We got Jason over there. Say hello.
Hello.
And we got Andrew over here.
Shalom.
Okay.
Shalom
double check that. Maybe it just doesn't sound good through my headphones, but you're there. It's working, yeah?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
If you'd like me to turn it up.
There you go. Yes, you are in the house.
Okay.
So we got some statistics back. I love, first of all, I love this show. I love the Loftus Party. And we know where people are listening. We're big in Los Angeles. We're big in New York. We are big in Washington, D.C., San Francisco, Boston, Philly, and guess where else? The Sudan, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and Konnichiwa, my friends in Japan.
And Dubai.
I think it's so awesome. It's so great.
Yeah.
Actually, we should give them a more formal Ohio gozaimasu.
Yeah, you know what? My dad, Ohio, is like, what, good morning, right?
Yeah.
So my dad would always tell the story. He was in the Air Force, and he was stationed in Japan. And when he would go to send checks back home, they would like, you know, through the language. And I'm about to do a horribly stereotype accent, so just hold on.
That's what we're all
write
about.
Write your angry letters. You know, so where to send check, you know, says the lady. My dad says, Columbus, Ohio. And she goes, Ohio. And so it's like, no, Ohio. So,
who is on first?
Because I'm from Ohio. Exactly.
So when he send a check, where he send a check? Ohio. I said good morning 5 times.
Yeah. It's, my dad would go into banks in Japan and do Abbott and Costello routines with Japanese tellers. So a big week in the news. This is the show to get everybody caught up. It's going fantastically well. I got a good vibe about this episode. This is where we do our topical political jokes. This is where we talk about pop culture and politics, because here's the deal. There's a show we all work on called The Flip Side with Michael Loftus, and that's in syndication from coast to coast, and that has to be more evergreen material. And so much stuff is going on politically, we decided to start this show, The Loftus Party, so we could talk about what is going on in the news. What is bugging us? What's our political beef? What's the big picture thing that we're talking about?
Right.
Here's mine. This is what, like, this is the problem with me, okay? And I'm a member of the Leave Me Alone Party. That's okay. What I want. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. That's my, the motto of the show, literally. Life, liberty, the pursuit of some serious happiness. Here's my problem with the Democrats. Like, I don't see why we all have to do something, right? Like, if you want to help poor people, if you want to help one-eyed penguins in the Sudan or something, go for it. Nobody's stopping you. I saw this thing on MSNBC the other day. They're like, we're talking to billionaires who don't think they're not paying their fair share of taxes. They want to pay more. And I'm screaming at the TV, go for it. No one's stopping you. Like, that infuriates me. When some millionaire, like, who's the big stock market guy? Warren Buffett.
Yeah.
Warren Buffett is like, I'm not paying enough in taxes. Pay more!
What's funny is Warren Buffett actually influenced the way the tax system is right now. And now he's going, I don't pay enough. Yeah, because you set it up like that.
He says it every political cycle. I remember him saying this like 4 years ago. Like, my secretary pays more than I do in taxes. Every rich guy, every billionaire,
it's by the way,
is going to talk like this, like foghorn, leghorn. I don't pay enough, boy, I say.
That's not what Warren Buffett sounds like, but I like it.
Still. It's uncanny. It's like he's in the room.
Damn.
So that's my big thing. I appreciate my liberal friends. I appreciate the Democratic Party, everything about them. But, like, I'm saying, go for it. They're like, teachers are underpaid. Chip in.
Well, yeah, because the government got involved and runs the school system. Of course they're underpaid. It's the government. Look, the money never goes where they say it's going to go. We need to tax people to pay for health care. Then the money doesn't really go to health care. We're still paying a lot for health care. And the money, but
that was the joke. That was the joke.
Rich.
That was the joke we did on the flip side. You, Andrew, were in New York.
Yeah, I had to go and deal with some other work
with career and filmmaking.
Yes,
yeah. Your movie takes priority over the syndicated TV show.
The 60 hours I put in beforehand, I wasn't there on that day.
That's right.
I failed.
That's right.
That's right.
We're gonna keep doing that. what the heck was I just saying? Oh, the joke we did. Like, whenever people, the White House spokesman comes out and starts bragging about how many people signed up for Obamacare, I want to smack him around. I'm like, you're not allowed to brag about that. You made a law where you have to sign up or you're in trouble. You can't brag about, look how many people signed up. That's like bragging about how many people got their picture taken for their driver's license, right?
What a success.
Look at us go. It's almost 90%. We're doing great. Well, so many Americans are covered now, they're in trouble.
A lot of the bragging actually comes to the fact that there were people who couldn't get coverage before and they have it now. So that's one of the things.
Actually, no, there's a lot of people still without coverage. Lots and lots of them. I was told
my
doctor were going to get free health care. Your doctor quit. I know a girl loses her job because they can't do the Obamacare.
You know
thing.
Who's disappointed is the people who thought they were getting free health care. Those people are bummed.
They're still telling me they're getting it.
Like,
there are a few people who are getting free health care because what
they're called Mexicans.
They took Medicaid.
It's true.
And they made it so that if you make more money, you can get Medicaid.
Okay,
but if you make too much money, like everyone sitting in this room,
right?
We can't get that.
How poor do I need to be to get free health care?
It's something along the lines of like poverty level, so like $15,000 a year or less.
I could swing that.
I could swing
$15,000. It depends on where I live. I'm gonna have to live in West Virginia or something.
You could move to Wisconsin. I mean, you can get a
too cold. I'm gonna need something warm. You know, because I don't want to pay high fuel bills unless I can talk to the government
Florida.
Into paying for that. That'd be pretty sweet. So $15,000 is the threshold?
Something around there. But if you make as much as $47,000, then you're still eligible for subsidies.
Okay. Well, I feel bad for those people. Yeah. You know, because I think if you were making – what if you made $16,000? Wouldn't that be horrible? Like if your life is just completely miserable and I make $16,000. This is a struggle. But at least I get free, and you go in, you talk to the government guy, and they're like, sorry. Like, no, I've been saving bottles and cans all summer long. I thought I was doing great.
How many
people
signed up for it?
How many, like 7 million people?
It
8 million?
Multiple.
And they're bragging about 8 million?
Have signed up.
There's 350 million people. And 8 million signed up. What a wild success. They said, we'll fine you $1,000 and you'll go to jail if you don't pay it. And people are still like, nope, not doing it.
And the fines haven't kicked in yet. I think the fines kick in next year.
None of this stuff kicks in until 2017. And I see people on Facebook
Obama's
going, my Obamacare is great. Yeah, that hasn't kicked in yet, son.
When the fines kick in, just smash cut to Obama on the back of a cruise ship, just waving and smiling. And just, burr, burr. Good luck. Enjoy that, everybody. Back to Hawaii.
Just
a makalaka shaker is the thing to say when I just screwed you for health care benefits. Makalaka shaker is the thing to say when your doctor just quit medicine. I can't afford health care anymore. I made $15,050. Sorry.
Sucks.
That was a fun little riff.
It was. And while you were vamping, we checked the Google. And apparently 11.7 million Americans had bought Obamacare last spring, and now it's down to 9.9 million.
How did it go lower? So some people jumped off the train?
Pretty much.
What a mess.
It's a law. It's a law. Boy, you have to sign up. 11 million. Hey, you guys, did you sign up? Down to 9 million.
You really can't get dumber than the Democrats.
That's
hysterical. You really can't do it.
Oh, come on.
Look,
now.
And I'm not
even a
Republican.
Listen, I made myself a promise.
They're dumb.
I made myself a promise. I'm not going to stand idly by for these. This is the problem. This is the problem between the warring parties of the Democrats and the Republicans. People just do these blanket statements of, you're dumb. No, liberals, Democrats, they think they're doing this really. It is a noble pursuit. It is a completely noble pursuit to try to get everybody health care. Here's the bad news. We can't afford it. Right? I'm into it. If there's a way to make the math work, seriously, if there was a way to make the math work and we could all get free health care, it would be awesome. But everything I've heard so far.
You have
far,
to pay for things, though. This is the planet Earth.
Right.
I'm going
right.
to get free health care for
right?
Bernie
like,
Sanders.
I'm for the, yeah. That
I'm going to get free health care, Michael.
Bernie Sanders. That whole thing. Like, and I swear, I'm doing a lot of radio. I'm doing a lot of press to promote the Loftus Party and the flip side. And these pundits, these political, they claim to be so knowledgeable. They honestly don't see, how is Bernie so popular with the young people?
How's he doing that? How's he so popular with the young people? He's showing up at college campuses telling them it's going to be free. Got my vote.
Yeah.
Listen, if I'm 20 years old going to Ohio State, shelling out giant hunks of money every quarter, and some guy goes, you know, it should be free. I have a way to take the picnic basket from these guys. It's going to be free. You're not going to have to worry about it. I'm like, dude, you totally got my vote. You totally, like, that's all he could say. Mm-hmm. He could say, Iran gets nukes. Cuba's going to go back to the mob, and Israel is moving back to the south of France. And I'd be like, but college is free, right? Sure is. Okay. I think we got a deal.
And to be fair, he's very engaging, and he destroyed Hillary in this most recent debate.
You
How
know
hard
why?
Is that? She's a criminal. She should be in prison. I could destroy Hillary. Are you kidding me?
You know what? Say what you will, but she can be quite charming in those pantsuits.
You know what?
They are nice. They are.
You know what's very weird? It's like Nancy Reagan is dead.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're, and if you just found out, I'm very sorry. That was a horrible way
what?
To break.
What?
That was somebody wrecks their car right now. Somebody's on their way to the Reagan
Ron
library.
Reagan is, whoa, mommy?
And he just said it. He didn't say, I have bad news. He didn't soften me up. He just, bam-o. He just emotionally nuked me. But they showed this wonderful photograph. This is what I love about American politics, right? They showed this great photograph of, like, all the first ladies together. You know, you had the Rosalind Carter, Jimmy Carter's wife, Michelle Obama, you know, the Bush, da-da-da-da. And then Hillary was there. And you know what? She had, like, a little nice little gold outfit on. And maybe I'm gay, but I'm like, why doesn't she wear that? She looked good.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoever put her in that outfit, put her in that. Stop with this Chairman Mao from the future, crazy pantsuits. You know what we should do? We should put you in something that looks polyester that emphasizes your hips, your bowling ball figure.
Tailors can work miracles.
They can.
Did you see how serious he was?
He's right, though.
Tailors can work miracles.
She's
I went into.
Do
you have any gay friends that dress you?
Not that dress me.
Oh, get one. A long time ago, I was going
that
to
undress me.
Hello. I was going to Montreal and I was doing the comedy festival there, and I'm like, I just wanted some clothes, but you know, you want to do that thing where you want to look nice, but it doesn't look like you're trying. So I went to the Gap here in Studio City, and this guy comes over. I'm assuming he's gay. I don't know. Maybe he was just effeminate, but he had like the cartoon voice and everything. And I'm like, dude, I need clothes, and I need it to look this. And he goes, okay, here we go. And he got really serious, and he grabbed a bunch of stuff that I would, like, never pick out for myself, I would never wear. And I tried it on. It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this dude was like, it was like, he was like my fairy godmother in Cinderella. And then I go to Montreal, and they lost my bags. And I'm like, I had all these.
All my gay clothes were in those bags.
Right? Yeah. So now I'm like running to a mall in Montreal trying.
Looking for a gay
looking
dude.
For gay clothes.
Aren't like, there any gays in this place?
Oh, and then my luggage finally showed up the day after the show. The day after
that
the show.
That figures.
So, yeah. I need more gay friends. All my gay friends are wonderful. I had this conversation with my buddy Sam a while back. Like, gay people are fantastic. I love them. I wish lesbians liked me. They just don't seem to, right? I don't have that many lesbians. I wish I had
too.
More
yeah.
lesbian friends. My gay friends are fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, so smart, so witty. And that's got to be horrible.
They are funny.
Right? Like, I don't know, if I was gay, I don't know if I'd fit in. Because, like, I don't think I'm smart and witty enough. And that's got to be, like, horrible. Because, like, all my gay friends are just so insanely bright, and I'm like, wow, like, do you like find yourself like oh no, I'm attracted to men, like, oh no, now I have to learn a lot. Like, I have to start going to the gym and have snappy comebacks to every possible scenario.
I have
scenario.
To learn the difference between Canale and Hugo Boss, and who is Donna Karen, and why is she only in New
right,
York? Yeah,
pop quiz, hot shot.
Well, I think humor is a good way to diffuse things, and I think that gay people, when their kids get made fun of and stuff, and I think their humor probably played into managing with these situations.
Well, that's why I'm here. I mean, it's like being funny got me out of fights.
Sure.
You know, that's a coping mechanism. So you went right to the heart of the matter. Let's get into some news. We solved that.
Yeah.
I want to start off with this. The Sun Sentinel.
Okay.
That's a newspaper. Mm-hmm. They're going out of business. Sun Sentinel's not going out. They're down in Florida. Guess who they're endorsing for president on the Republican side?
Cruz?
Nobody.
I think first time in the history of the paper, they're like, you all suck.
It's like brutal.
That's a good endorsement, though.
Right? That's like, doesn't a paper, don't they have to endorse somebody?
No. Not necessarily. Nope. I mean,
not at all.
Wow.
I mean, if they're not getting anything out of it, or if they don't think anybody's good.
That's just so sad to me. We've looked at you all. We've seen your positions, and we've listened to all the debates. And,
good luck, America.
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Pass. We're going to move on. We're going to move on.
Well, if you watch the most recent Republican debates, this was by far the Republicans being on their best behavior.
Yeah.
And in general, they were better, but if you don't like Republicans to begin with, they didn't bring anything to the table that was going to bring you over to their side.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why you'd say that, but I mean, I can see why Donald Trump is getting like the blue collar, what they call the Reagan Democrats. Mm-hmm. I can totally see why he's pulling those people. And I think some idiot on the Republican Party, like before this election started, some like bigwig, like a Lindsey Graham type guy, he's like, I want a Republican to run for president who's going to get them Democrats, who's going to get those Democrats like Reagan used to get. And now Donald Trump's got those. He's like, we got to stop Donald Trump.
It's, yeah.
We got to stop him cold. And here's another thing, America. Here's my little comedic two cents that's not comedic. Stop with the we got to stop Donald Trump. There's way too much like
– It's like the harder they fight, like, the more he's winning.
No, 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 no. It's getting dangerous now.
What do you mean?
I think it's getting dangerous. Like a lot of people are like Trump had that protester that got punched. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they're blaming Donald Trump. Because of this rhetoric. They're like, this inflammatory rhetoric, it spurs people to violence, says the network that goes, we got to stop Donald Trump. They've got to figure something out. They're practically begging for an assassination attempt, you know? It's right? It's horrible.
It's
Fox, it's CNN, it's MSNBC, and they like the newscaster looks so concerned. How do we stop him? Can anyone stop him? How do you, like, hey, I think we've had about enough of that, okay? People are voting. I get it. He's not your cup of tea, right? You're going to vote for Cruz or you're going to vote for Hillary or Bernie. God bless you. That's America. Go vote. But stop. Let's enough with this. How do you stop him? And then I just think it'd be horribly ironic that, like, oh, it's, I blame Donald Trump and his rhetoric. And then they go to their rhetoric of, how do you stop him? Can't we just cripple him? Can't somebody do a Nancy Kerrigan and just get him with a baseball bat to the leg?
Well, right. The frustrating thing is that sort of overshadows what the actual numbers work out to be, because people are talking about this inevitability of Donald Trump, but if you look at the pure numbers, if Kasich wins Ohio, which he's poised to do,
yep.
And Rubio has actually a small chance of coming out in Florida, in his home state, because mm-hmm. he knows he's done.
Right.
We are pretty much guaranteed to go into the Republican National Convention contested because nobody's going to have the set number of delegates.
In a weird way, like in a weird way of let's just light the firecracker and then stand back and watch. That's what I want to happen.
Are you watching House of Cards?
No, I'm not. Everybody asks me, do you watch House of Cards? And I love Kevin Spacey and he's a brilliant actor. I haven't seen an episode of this. I guess it's based on a British show.
Yes.
Whatever, but it's great. I haven't watched it, but that's in a weird way. I want it to be a contested convention in July in Cleveland, and of course it would be Cleveland, right?
Yep.
Where that's the the really weird stuff happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, if something really twisted and wrong is going to happen, it will happen in the city of Cleveland, right? And I just want to kind of see the fireworks show because people are so polarized. I've never seen anything like it. The Cruz people hate the Trump people, and the Rubio hate the Trump people. Blah, blah, blah. And like, I don't know how Marco Rubio walks back from this. Let's say Trump gets it, okay? Mm-hmm. How does Marco Rubio go on stage one day and go, you know, the guy I called a con man and a total liar with tiny hands who should be in jail? Well, he'd be a great president.
Just like that.
That's just what he does. He just goes, his bald face lies.
I've seen it before, though. I've seen that kind of thing happen.
Well, let's get into that. Today, in the news, Ben Carson mm-hmm. endorsed Donald Trump, and Trump said some pretty bad things about old Ben Carson.
He did.
Yep.
But that's the presidential race. You're going to say bad things about the other guys. These guys know what's up. They know that it's just business and politics. And Ben Carson, you know, is, I think, smart to endorse him because he sees that this guy's winning. And he's outsmarting everybody, and he wants to go with the winning guy.
You know, and I will say this about Donald Trump. He's not done this before. Like, he's going toe-to-toe with Ted Cruz.
I mean, he's...
Well, you could say is business politics. Yes, is that what you're saying? Like, exactly. Making business deals and knowing and knowing. Mm-hmm. But, like you need people on the ground, you know, to knock on doors and pass out pamphlets. So, in a way, I could say, you know, he's kind of out of his league, and he's just flying by the seat of his pants, really. But I think he's doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
He turned into Reverend Jim from Patrick.
Oh, he's doing great, Mon.
Money.
Donald Trump becomes president in 2016. We gotta go back to the future.
We gotta go back.
Oh, Doc, this is really heavy.
Doc. So I was glad that Ben Carson endorsed Donald Trump. I thought it was very interesting.
It's a smart move.
Why do you say it's a smart move?
Well, because Trump's going to win, and you want to be with the winner, and you never know what Trump can do for him in the future.
I tell you what, it's
there will
knows?
Be no contested
we're
convention.
We're still waiting for Ohio. We're still waiting for Florida. Mathematically, like Andrew says, nothing is locked.
No one is inevitable.
Believe me, President Trump is on the way, boy.
And as John
believe me.
And as John Kasich said, we still got. I was doing a great John Kasich earlier before the show.
You had it.
I did. Okay, we're back. We still got about half the country to go. He always talks to Chris Matthews on MSNBC. You know, Chris, you'll get a kick out of this. We still got like 25 states to go. My dad was a postman. You guys want to go to the mall, get a sandwich, vote for me. I'm John Kasich. Somebody said on MSNBC or Fox the other day that he has to be more blue collar. And I'm like, how could it be more blue collar? Like, what do you want to do? Come on, come over, fix your truck. You give me a vote, okay? You vote for me. I'm Johnny Kasich. I'm wearing postman shoes. My mom is in the Burger King. Come on, I'm going to be your president. I balance the budget. I work across the aisle. I'll work across.
Well, I mean, Kasich fills in that role of being the establishment candidate. Now, he's the one that the party wants.
This week.
Kasich to me.
This week, it was Rubio. It was Cruz. Now it's Kasich.
Well, here's
nobody's
the deal.
Beaten.
Was it really Cruz?
Yeah. No.
Definitely was Cruz.
It was never Cruz.
For a hot minute, they were like.
Was the establishment guy?
Yes, definitely.
No.
Oh, he's insider baseball.
Oh, no, that's the truth. But, like, the establishment doesn't like him. He's got no friends.
There was a hot minute when they wanted somebody else and it didn't work out. And they go, oh, Rubio, now that's the guy.
Oh, Rubio, yeah. We're talking about Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz is the establishment guy, I would say.
Oh, here's it's a great trick that Ted Cruz. I will doff my cap to him. An incredibly great trick.
Right.
That he's like, I'm just a country boy from Texas, ding dang diggity.
Look at my Bible.
Who went to Harvard. He's a Harvard lawyer, and then he worked as a Supreme Court clerk for a cajillion years.
What an outsider.
And then he's like a professional politician. And
right.
He's like, I'm just here with my eyebrows raised, just trying to do good and protect the Constitution. Hey, dude. Let's stop with the accent, all right? You live in D.C. You've lived there for a long, long time. You went to Harvard. You're a lawyer. You're the problem.
Yeah. Pretty much,
well,
yeah.
Also, if he
and
got
we just
the nomination,
lost.
It would pretty much be guaranteed that they would take him to court for being a Canadian.
Here's my other beef with Mr. Ted Cruz. And here's a way to try to get my vote, Mr. Ted Cruz. Start talking about what you're gonna do. Every time I turn on the TV, he tells me if I vote for this guy, it's a vote for that guy. That's really a vote for her. And I'm like, what the heck? Stop saying that. I don't want to have to do voter math every time I think about voting for somebody. And tell me what you're going to do. I yet don't know this guy's plan. Every time I see him on TV, he's like, I'm going to stop this thing. I'm going to rip that up. I'm going to tear up that horrible
deal. Yeah, but that's
deal.
The stuff I want. And I want him to tear these things up. Obamacare, destroy it. I'm on his side on that one.
See, we just covered at the top of the show. Obamacare is imploding. It can't work. You don't have enough people paying in. What you need is young, healthy people paying into a system they don't use. It's a Ponzi scheme.
It is.
It's like Social Security. So, but anyway, that fantastic. I think that's all given. Like, the givens to me are take another look at Obamacare, make sure our borders are safe, and let's take another look at this Iranian nuke deal. Okay, that's all, like, given. That's like the sun rises in the east and sets in the west kind of junk. Mm-hmm. What are you gonna do? Right? Like, how do you, like... At least Donald Trump is going like, we're going to renegotiate these trade deals with Japan. I'm going to get more factories working back here.
Right.
People are going to have jobs. I'm going to make it easier to do X, Y, and Z. That's what Cruz needs to do.
Well, he did say he's going to shut down the IRS.
Well, maybe I'm wrong about Cruz.
You know what? Good luck with that. Good luck with that. That's how, like, and that's the other thing. It's like the political news cycle is so fast. There's Twitter, there's Facebook. Like, really? Really? I mean, I understand, like, I'm going to shut them down. I'm going to abolish the IRS. Okay. Sure.
It could
sure.
be done.
And then, Oh, it'll be a piece of cake. It'll be a piece of cake.
Right? I think you could get people behind shutting them down and doing a flat tax or some kind of...
Well, here's what you do. Then here you need to reframe that. I'm going to go for a flat tax.
Yeah.
And once my flat tax is before you know it, we won't need the IRS anymore. But when you come up with, I'm going to shut down the IRS, good luck with that. Like, yeah. Tell me what your plan is and then shut them down. Okay. So that's going on. The debate last night, you guys watch?
I missed it.
I watched.
Wait, was
nothing
this a Republican
really new.
Debate?
It's another one. I'm done with the
How
debates.
How many of these are there?
This is 27.
Holy smoke, man.
This is allegedly the one that was on Thursday night, the last one. Donald Trump says he's not going
to
do anything.
He shouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, how many do you have to do?
Yeah. I mean, we're not learning anything new here. Anything new.
Well, no, this was really set up because Florida, a state where there's a lot of votes that are in contention and the delegates are winner take all, they wanted to make their last minute plea to those voters. So,
oh, yeah, that's great. But like, you know what? We could just probably show a debate from, like, literally, I don't think I've heard anything new from the first debate. They could just edit out everybody's responses. Nothing has really changed.
There was so much Florida pandering. It was actually pretty amazing. Like,
so much Florida pandering?
Yeah, they were talking about Cuba. They were talking about Israel. I mean, and that's the majority of the constituency
right.
in Florida. They've got the Hispanics and they have the Jews.
Yeah. I love Florida. I like the Cuban people. And here, I tell you what, I mean, this is like very, I'm sure I'm making a lot of people angry about this. But like when they were talking about Cuba and Donald Trump is just like, hey, you guys, it's been 50 years. Didn't work. Got to try something else. I'm all down for that.
Yeah.
Let's try something else. And people are like, what's your plan? And I'm sure his plan is like, we build a hotel. Right. Like, I'm sure that's what he wanted to say.
A casino.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build a Trump Tower. We're going to have a casino. We're going to give it back to the mob. It worked great in the 50s. Right?
It did. Cuba used to be the place, man.
How does, and then like, here's the other, like Ted Cruz and Rubio, they were on Trump about being, they say he's against Israel or he's like bad for Israel. I don't see how that is.
What he's trying to do is he wants to bring both parties to the table. Ultimately.
What?
The Palestinians.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, I mean, the argument that Cruz and Rubio were making was that Israel is our ally. Palestinians are associated with Hezbollah and Hamas.
That's true.
The definition of terrorists.
That's true.
And it's 100% true. So there's no point in trying to negotiate with these terrorists. We just need to support Israel.
Now, here's what I would say. If I was an advisor of this, you can get Israel to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
I think old Bibi will sit down.
Absolutely.
But don't go to Hezbollah. Go to somebody else.
Well, actually, there's a great video that's on the internet which says the true solution to peace in the Middle East, just give everything to Israel. They've let everyone come in. They've let everyone stay.
There's a lot of Palestinians living in Israel very happily.
Exactly. I tell you what, it's kind of like a cartoon when you go. Have you been to Israel?
Many times.
Okay. I have been once. I spent a wonderful, wonderful month. And until you go, America, it sounds like a cartoon. It's like a Roadrunner, Wile E. Coyote cartoon where on one side of the fence, everything is green and lush and like a tropical Mediterranean paradise. Mm-hmm. That's Israel. Literally, on the other side of the road, where you would expect like a pile of like free bird seed and beep, beep, that whole thing. On the other side of that road is just dirt and desolation and shelled building. That's where the Arabs live.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's uncanny how stark the comparison is. Like, Israel is so awesome and beautiful and the people are fantastic. And like, if I was a Palestinian, I would just want to smack people around. You know people are donating.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting money.
Yeah.
And they're like just wasting it on tunnels and bombs and horrible plans and kids TV where puppets are telling people to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like winter. Seriously, like it's like I was just saying about Cuba. We tried it for 50 years. It didn't work. Don't the Palestinians like look around? Don't they ever just wander around and think, you know what? This strategy of ours, not paying off.
Well, the problem is you have Mahmoud Abbas, who runs the PLO, and he's completely in the pocket of Hamas and Hezbollah.
Yes, and Mahmoud Abbas, whatever his name is, Boba Fett's uncle. If really? You yeah, if you look at episode 7,
I hated that guy. Bob,
Clone Wars. He was in that. He was in that. Dude, there was Boba Fett, Jango Fett, and then Buck Buddha Both.
Yeah. Was he in the Cantina Band?
He was in the Cantina Band.
Daddle 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 daddle. Jabba the Hutt, yeah.
Yeah, Jabba the Boss. Oh my gosh, it's flying by. This was a very, I thought, an interesting thing. There was a Russian guy that was a advisor to Vladimir Putin, very closely tied. He was found dead in his hotel room in D.C. in November. And the Russians like, he has heart attack. Heart attack kills this man. And then, like, the Americans investigate it, and the results came out today. Blunt force trauma.
Maybe he had a heart attack and fell down.
Right.
Over That's and like, over and over.
How?
And he like, kept bumping his
how
head.
How completely, like, KGB is that? Like, blunt head trauma. Mm-hmm. Like...
How do you know it was like, KGB? What, it might have been an American.
It just seems like old. I don't know who. I'm not saying who the murderer was, right. But I'm just saying the guy has a giant dent in his head.
Heart attack. He fell.
That's what I'm saying. He has had heart attack. Look, he's obvious to everyone.
He has repeatedly bumped head on ground.
Where were you last night, Boris?
I was with wife all night long playing Scrabble.
Maybe, you know, and now as I say it, maybe he did have a heart attack and bumped his head.
Again,
now,
again, it just took, again.
Right, about 50 times. He's happens. He's like, ugh, my heart, bang, on side
and
of coffee
stand
table.
Up and fall
then
down.
You wake up, am I better? Bang, and then the head again. Like, oh, now it is wearing off. Bang, my left arm is numb. Bang.
I could believe that.
Russians will whack you, man. Yeah, that, yeah I'm
but
thinking.
Their vodka is excellent.
They do make good vodka. They know how to drink.
Yes, they do.
They do, when I was on that True TV show, World's Dumbest, mm-hmm. You could always, when you did like World's Dumbest Drunks, World's Dumbest Brawlers, you could always count up about 5 or 6 clips coming in from
They're
Russia.
They're tough people, man.
Oh, man. And they can fall. You can get a drunk Russian climbing up to his girlfriend's building, and he's on like the fourth balcony, fourth floor, and just, he just bang. And you'd think blunt force drama. He gets up, he's like, but I'm still in love with her. Fantastic.
The alcohol broke his fall.
All right, let's move on. North Korea with their little short-range nukes. They're saber-rattling now. How do
they
we feel about
do.
That?
They always do, and they never do.
You know, I remember a young man by the name of Bill Clinton negotiated a deal with them. And, like, literally, I saw a clip from it, and it's almost the same speech that Obama gave about Iran getting nukes. He's like, this is a good deal. Our inspectors will be in there. We're going to make sure that they don't cheat. And if they do cheat, we're going to have and, like, now they've got just, like, short-range nukes, and they're firing off left and right.
Right.
Which frightens the heck. I mean, I'm glad it's short-range, but, like, then what's really scary is the other day Iran just starts firing off ballistic missiles in a direct, like, in the deal. This is a good deal for everybody, Obama says. We're going to be on them, and we can snap back the sanctions, blah, 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 blah. And Iran literally starts launching like ballistic missiles that they can put a nuke on. Oh, and then here's something else. This goes ties right into our little Israel conversation. On the side of the missile, if you look at it in Hebrew, death to Israel. They put that on the side of the little missile before they launch it. Something tells me they're not gonna like abide by the deal. We might want to consider a backup
but
plan.
Why would Obama give Iran the nuke? He's a Christian.
Why would he give them? I think he might have thought this is the best way to control them. I don't think as a
billions and
he didn't give
them
a nuke.
Supposedly he just paved the way for them to get a nuke. Very
conveniently. And then the other people say it's the best way to keep them from getting a nuke. But
just
like
to give
me,
is to pave the way for them to get a nuke.
Well, at the core of it, it's not about giving them a nuke. It's that they are allowed to enrich a very small amount of uranium. But
because they
so
need,
because
they need nuclear energy, because
yes.
They don't have like oil,
right? Right.
They need nuclear energy.
But the idea behind it is, again, like you said, we've been doing this for 50 years one way. We've had sanctions on them for many, many years, and we haven't gotten any solution out of it. So we're trying something else.
Here's a little sliver of good news. They just had elections over there in Iran, and the moderates did quite well.
Yes.
That's a little, I like that, a little, there's the thing about the Loftus Party. There's some gloom and doom, but there's some comedy, and there's some hope. And when I tell you what, And that, and it makes me sad. Like, remember when they were voting in Iraq, mm-hmm. and all those girls had the little
Anka sticker? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That was so heartwarming and awesome. And you're like, wow, there is hope for the world. Mm-hmm. Short-lived. But, but like, at least in Iran, they had elections, and the moderates won. I'm sure there's some wonderful, wonderful people. You know what? It doesn't – here's a few bad apples can spoil the whole bunch.
Well, yeah. The government of Iran does not really represent the average man or woman in Iran. These people want liberty and freedom. But
I believe you, too. Know,
yeah, definitely.
Preach on, T.J. Jefferson.
If you hear something a little weird, it's raining in the studio.
You know why it's raining?
Because
God is crying because Nancy Reagan passed away.
Is that it?
It was a lovely funeral. We watched a little bit of it. And Nancy, I didn't know the Reagans, but I tell you what, I've been to the Reagan Library up there in the CME. It's a beautiful, beautiful. You know what he's got in there? You know what old Ronnie Reagan had? He's got in an Air Force One. You know every other president's got to be so pissed off because he had quite the life, because you've got, like, here's Reagan as a young man in a one, you know, literally like no running water, a little shack where they were, you know, he was born. And then now he's in broadcasting. And then, oh, now he's at Hollywood. And now he's the governor. And now, like, there's a great story to it. And then as you come around that last corner, there's literally a jumbo jet, the official jet of the president's.
Say what you will about my Reaganomics. I got to fly in style.
You can say what you want about trickle down, but check this bitch out. That's a jumbo jet with the president's seal on it. It is cool. It is very, very cool.
Sure,
and I don't like how do you follow that? Like, is Obama gonna have a space shuttle in it? No, I don't think he is. Here's I don't want to forget to talk about this. At the Reagan funeral, mm-hmm. The former Prime Minister of Canada gets up and he reads this letter that Ronald Reagan wrote to Nancy in Christmas 1982. Talking about how he's got all these wonderful women in his life, but they're all her. He's like, you know, I've got a lady who watches my back in meetings and blah, 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 and I love her more than anything. I've got a lady that I take to the ranch, and she's this and that, and the sound of her laughter is like tinkling bells, and I live for it. And I got another lady, and they're all you, and my love for you is just deeper than the ocean.
And the crowd
blah,
went,
blah, blah,
oh.
And everybody, and then you show Hillary Clinton
and <she's> like,
sitting there by herself. It was so sad.
You don't just say poor Hillary.
You really do.
You do. You have to feel a little bad.
And I look over at Jason. I'm like, oh, man, she's probably there by herself. And he's like, no. Bill's in the back. He's at the bar. He's like, hey, what's your name? Man, you look really good. It's just like, it's just sitting there. And poor Hillary has this, like, this smile, this fake smile just plastered on. And she's like, just has to sit there and listen. Oh, okay. So I guess that's what love is supposed to be. It was just, I felt bad for her. And then the other night, I felt bad for Amy Wasserman Schultz. They were talking about the debates, and she was like, and you could tell, like, okay, and this is, I don't like to take, like, personal shots at people. Amy Wasserman Schultz is Amy Wasserman Schultz. But you could tell, like, she really tried. Like, with the makeup and the jewelry and her hair, and it's like she was really, really trying.
Good old Debbie.
And I'm like, Debbie. I said Amy. I keep saying Amy.
Same thing.
Well, I used to date a girl named Amy Wasserman Schultz. I'm kidding.
I was going to say, wow.
But, like, you could see where Debbie Wasserman Schultz had really, really tried. And I'm like, and then I start to have a little bit of, you know, good for you. Good for you for getting the nice jewelry and getting your hair done. And then she says something so mean. She's like, those jokers on the Republican side. And I'm like, screw you. I went straight to anchor. Like, hey, you know what? A second ago you had my sympathy, lady, but that was too far. That was a line too far. Oh, my goodness. We got to get back into stupid state laws.
I got a lot of women in my life, too, Michael.
Really?
I got a woman in my life that does nice things for me. Then I got another woman in my life that does some other nice stuff. But they're all different women in my life.
Yeah. You know how Ronnie had, like, a bunch of different women in his life, and they were all you? I have a bunch of different women in my life, and they're all a bunch of different women.
Actually, none of them are you, Hillary.
Isn't that ironic?
It's weird.
None of them named Hillary. There's Monica.
Debbie.
Shut up, Bill.
Remember Sunshine? We met her.
Oh, that was a good time. Remember, who was that drunk chick at Hilton Head? Who was that chick? All right, we are moving on. It is time for a new segment. We did this last week. I loved it. We're going to do it again. Stupid state laws. I hope these are all true. I've looked them up. I've done my research. According to my sources, they are true. Let's jump in. Alabama, stupid state law. You cannot wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church.
That seems like a reasonable law.
Here's what I think. I go back to, like, why did they need this law? Was there someone who just wouldn't stop? Like, was coming into church every Sunday, like, hey, come on, it's funny. And, like, people started laughing.
And the priest is like, this guy.
Yeah, don't do it again. Not again, okay?
All right, I
swear I won't. Oh, it's funny, y'all. Look at me. I'm Hitler in church. It's a Hitler's in church. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know what? And this is not a stupid state law, but cut it out with this, everybody. It's so popular. I think it started with, like, back in Reagan. It started being like, oh, Reagan, he's just like Hitler. And then Bill Clinton, he's like Hitler. Everybody's just – every president now is just like Hitler. And now they're like – they're saying Donald Trump is just like Hitler when it's so funny. You know, when Hitler rose to power – here's one of the things that he did. He had a bunch of goons with him. And if you were trying to oppose Adolf Hitler, he would have his goons show up at your little speech and disrupt it. Right? He would make – yes, yes. He would. He got rid of his political adversaries. So I think it's very funny that, like, as like the Black Lives Matter and all these other protesters show up at Donald Trump's rally to disrupt him so he can't get – and then they go, oh, he's just like Hitler.
All right. Now – to be fair, did you see the footage where he asked everyone to raise their right hand and promise to vote for him?
Yes, I did.
That was very Nazi Hitler Youth-esque.
Yeah, especially the part where he says, I'm joking. That was like, I remember when Hitler would say all the time. When Hitler would say, I'm joking.
They
that was like not even close.
Look,
he's like, all right, so here's what I want you to do. And he does a little head shake. Here's what I want you to do. Raise your right hand.
He's Hitler. He raised his right hand. Anybody who swears in court is a Hitler Nazi. Give me a break. And then these guys come. They disrupt the place.
This is not stupid state laws.
And
but
they
go ahead.
Show the end of the clip where they're punching the person. They don't show the beginning where this person causes all kinds of trouble.
You know what he was
racist.
Doing there? You know what he was doing there, Jason? He was giving away lollipops and free hugs.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
But I will tell you this. In the state of Alaska, if you see a sleeping bear, it's illegal to wake it up for a photograph.
Well, there goes my selfie plan.
It's okay. You can still take the selfie. You just need to do it while he's sleeping.
But it's more fun if he's awake.
If he's charging at you.
Yes, that's a selfie right there.
You take the video. It's like, I'm Leo in the Revenant. Yay.
It's my Revenant impression.
I like this one. In Colorado, they allow you. Your tags can be ripped off of mattresses.
Let's party.
That's right, right? Those guys legalize marijuana. Next thing you know,
it's
mattress anarchy. Whoa, dude, what did you do? Don't care, man. I ripped it off. I'm pass a law. That's great. Who else has a stupid state law?
I got nothing. You do it.
I got one I like. In the city of Baldwin Park, California, no one is allowed to ride a bicycle in a swimming pool.
Oh, wow.
I just want to know, much like with the mustache, what was the inciting event?
I'll tell you this. I know right now. It's an empty swimming pool. They forgot to put in the word empty because that's where the whole skate culture came from.
Ah.
Was right out here in Southern California. These kids found these houses where the swimming pools were empty and they started skating in them. And that's what started the whole like extreme skateboard stuff, started that whole culture. And I'm sure some kid did it with a bicycle and blah, 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 blah.
It seems like it's a good exercise to ride a bike in a full swimming pool because the resistance, you'd get a great workout. Like, that's a dumb law.
Yeah.
I want to ride a bike. Now I want to do it.
Introducing the new Loftus Party exercise, biking in a pool.
Biking.
I swear, I've seen it in a commercial somewhere where people are biking underwater.
I would think
anything. In Louisiana, it's a $500 fine for sending a pizza to a friend's house without them knowing. Huh? You think your little joke's funny now, son? That pepperoni pizza's going to cost you $500.
It was worth it.
It was worth it.
And what a stupid gag to send a pizza to somebody. If somebody sent a pizza to my house.
You never did that?
I'd be like, hell yeah, give me the pizza. How much is it? Unless it's like got anchovies and pineapple or some weird.
Hey, in Missouri, you are not allowed to drive with an uncaged bear.
Again with the bear.
I know, I'm fascinated.
What if you take a picture
like,
with it?
Who was, well, if it's sleeping, you're okay.
All right.
But don't wake it up to take a picture to drive around.
If you're going to drive a bear, you should probably put it in a cage. It's a smart law.
Oh, and I have one more. You do yours, and then
okay.
I have one bears
more. Bears are not good drivers.
In Blythe, California, you are not permitted to wear cowboy boots unless you already own at least two cows.
Wow. I like it. I like it.
That's actually a good one. So, like, you were going to wear cowboy boots? How many cows do you own?
Yeah.
One. Take them off.
But I
take
have
a, You ain't no cowboy. You come back when you got two cows.
You're only
you can
half
wear.
A cowboy.
Now, what if you own a bull? What if you own a bull? Does it count?
I think you're good to go, yeah.
That's like two
cows. Because a bull can make cows, so philosophically, he could. A bull is really unlimited cows. In Nebraska, whale fishing is illegal.
I'm just imagining like that little old guy in the canoe with his little fishing rod. It's like, I'm going to catch a
whale.
Whale
fishing.
In Nebraska, where whales are just so populous.
Yes.
You can't swing a
if you're
sleeping
a
bear without hitting us. A whale.
If you're looking for a whale, go to Nebraska.
That is right.
You're going to find a whale and fish for it.
In Pennsylvania, it's a crime to tell a fortune teller where to dig for buried treasure.
Wait a second. The fortune teller's supposed to tell me where
exactly.
to dig.
That's where the law
I
comes
don't get
in.
It.
It's like the fortune teller's like, I found the gypsy is like, I found the buried treasure.
So dig.
Well, like they're like, well, you're not really a fortune teller because that guy told you. She's like, I don't think that the point is moot. I found the buried treasure. And like, no, you cheated. Wait, you're telling me I'm not a fortune. And it became a philosophical argument. I love that one. You don't have any, Jason. This is gonna lead me to a Michaeltopia real
fast.
I've
got some Michaeltopias.
Because we're gonna okay, good.
I got a whole bunch of those.
That's where you're going. In South Dakota, I think we did this one last week. In South Dakota, you're not allowed to sleep in a cheese factory. Oh my gosh. This is a new one.
Okay.
This is a 21st century stupid state law. In Tennessee, you're not allowed to share your Netflix password.
Why not?
Because it's communism.
That was great. That was perfect.
That was
all right.
Good.
I think we have just enough time to do a Michaeltopia here. We're going to get in some Michaeltopias and take us home. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to wait till our next show for our wonderful Bernie Sanders song. We got a little funky Bernie Sanders. I'm just going to tease that this week.
We could do it.
Next week we're going to rock and roll. We're so long. The thing that I love about
people want more, Michael.
And next week they're going to get their Bernie Sanders song. By gosh, because right now,
are you even in town next week?
It is time for Michaeltopia.
Let's do it.
That's the Michaeltopia theme song right there. You know what? You can live many, many places. You can live here in the real world where things are crazy and cuckoo and anything can happen. Or you can live with me in Michaeltopia where things make sense. Jason, what do you got for a Michaeltopia?
In Michaeltopia.
Where?
Michaeltopia? What did I say?
You were like John Kasich all of a sudden. In Michaeltopia. Listen here, I'm John Kasich for a Loftus party. In Michaeltopia, everybody's dad's a postman, okay? In Michaeltopia, I've been there. Things make sense. I moved across the aisle, worked at Tip O'Neill. Me and Ronnie Reagan had missiles on our heads.
In Michaeltopia, there's no spell check. I'm never going to tell anyone to go duck themselves. It's just stupid.
So, in Michaeltopia, there is no spiel check. There is no spowl check. Mike, there's speak cheek.
Is your
see
problem
I did
really
there?
With spell check or autocorrect?
Is
or
there a difference?
A lack of the English language.
That's what I mean, is autocorrect.
Okay.
See, I don't know what I'm saying. Can we edit this out?
No! That's too perfect! That's too perfect, Andrew. I'm so glad you're here. Good catch. You're not even upset with spell check. You're upset with autocorrect.
I hate
it. Let
both.
Me guess. Let me guess. When you were writing it, you wrote autocorrect and it came out spell check.
There's no spell check or autocorrect. What? Sometimes
that is great.
I write stuff wrong intentionally.
That is great.
I do it.
In Michaeltopia, some of these are going to be political. Some of them are not. In Michaeltopia, if you play the musical instrument for more than 10 minutes at the music store, you bought it. Okay? There is nothing worse than going into some music shop or a guitar center and some guy, you know for a fact he's not going to buy that guitar. And he's like, there's a lady who knows. You're like, he's going to do the whole song. He's going to, all that glitters, put it down. I swear, if you get to the bridge, you're buying it.
Donk, 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 donk. That'll be $5,000.
I got music.
And God love, I love Andrew, man. You got to be here for everyone. And there's a wind on down the road. I'm like, anyway, and at the bridge, and then he like just comes right in with it. He's crushing it. He's killing it today. Oh my gosh, the wind outside. It's like Charlton Heston Moses movie wind going on. It's scary for Southern California.
Oh yeah, but we go crazy when there's rain.
It is. It shuts down. It's anarchy. Okay. In Michaeltopia, the 45% of people who do not pay federal tax cannot decide how to pay tax. Right?
What do you mean? Like
47% of Americans don't pay federal income tax, yet they get to vote about how to spend the money.
That's a questionable number because everyone has FICA taken out. Everyone has Social Security taken out. Everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, but then they get their returns and go, oh, I got tax money back. No, you got my tax money back.
Well, but you never get back the total amount you pay.
Oh, please. These, come on.
Okay. So you're against that one. You're saying that one. Maybe that one doesn't make the show. I can take criticism. It's not the end all.
I got one.
I got one about fat people on scooters, but you can go first.
I like yours better than mine.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
In Michaeltopia, bagpipes are outlawed.
No.
Yes.
That one's not
good.
I love bagpipes.
I hate them.
Yeah, and then guess what?
They're annoying.
Here's the problem with Michaeltopia.
I know.
That is a segment of a show called The Loftus Party.
I'm ambassador of Michaeltopia.
I'm Michael Loftus of Michaeltopia and The Loftus Party.
Yes,
bagpipes,
but
they
I
stay.
Am Michael Loftus' advisor.
Listen. In that Star Trek movie where Spock was dead,
right,
and his little coffin and his little coffin is going off the Enterprise, and Scotty is standing there, and the bagpipes are playing.
Oh, but you can't.
And Kirk is trying not to cry. I'm weeping like a baby.
And you're gonna keep bagpipes for that?
Just for that one movie.
If you play guitar, you can get a girl. Like it helps you get girls. Like playing guitar or a cool instrument. You ain't gonna get a girl with bagpipes. Let me play you a romantic tune.
So, first off, that was a really good bagpipe, but how about we compromise on this? No bagpipes on Spirit Airlines.
I'm fine with that.
Why Spirit Airlines?
Oh, you didn't see that. This week, there was five women who got into a girl fight because
two women
decided they were going to bring out their boombox and just blast some music the entire time.
Oh, my goodness. Spirit Airlines is, like, not the airline you really want to fly.
No.
If you can avoid it.
No, but any airline
there goes
where
our
you can
sponsor.
Get across the country for $90, it has its value.
Yeah.
That's how cheap it is on Spirit Airlines?
You can get from Baltimore to California
and
one
the catch?
Way for $90.
I love Spirit Airlines.
And the catch is, you want to check a bag? $100 a bag.
Really?
For a carry-on.
$100 for a carry-on?
Yeah.
All right, so your ticket's going to cost you $70?
The way they have it set up is that if you don't announce that you have a carry-on before you show up,
okay,
and you get to the gate and it's
too small.
Oh, and
then they're like, okay.
Yeah, then it's like, oh, it's $100. But they'll let you bring on like a purse-sized bag for free.
I'm okay with Spirit Airlines. I would like to apologize for Jason's outlandish behavior. Spirit Airlines, you're okay. That's a value. You can't complain about that. If somebody's like, I'm going to fly you across the country for $170, can't really complain.
No.
You're like, these pretzels are stale. Shut up.
Yep.
It's $170. Mm-hmm. It's a bus that flies.
It's the Greyhound.
Right?
With wings.
Actually,
we're getting you there. You're lucky if the wing stays.
Full disclosure. I actually once flew from Los Angeles to Chicago on Spirit. The flight was $170. Pretty much did just get late. It was worth it.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, there's a story for next week's show.
Sounds good. Can I throw in a Michaeltopia?
I'll hit you.
Yes, please. Okay. Andrew's bringing a Michaeltopia.
All right. In Michaeltopia, it doesn't matter how good of a businessman you think Donald Trump is or isn't. We're all allowed to make fun of him for thinking it's a good idea to sell his stake at the Sharper Image.
That's fine with me. That's fine. Like, we're allowed to make fun of everybody.
Yes.
Like, and Donald Trump, like, he trotted out the water and the steaks at a press conference. I'm like, don't. Right? If I was in the Donald Trump camp, here's what I would say to do. Mm-hmm. Like, every building you've ever done, get a picture of it and put it with a magnet on the back. Right? So they're like, Trump water failed. You go, yes, it did. That was a mistake. And then smack, there goes a picture of a building that you built. Trump steaks were horrible. Yeah, that's true. Didn't make money. Bang. Here's a building. You guys want to talk about it? My giant building there. And like, well, your magazine was horrible. That is correct. Magazine went down. Whack. There's another building. I got like
50 more of these.
When you have 200 businesses, one or two is going to fail. I mean, that's just life.
But he's not doing himself any favors with this whole Trump University controversy.
No.
He released a video trying to talk about how good Trump University is, and I swear to God, 12-year-olds with iMovie and a webcam have made better-looking and sounding videos than this.
Wow. I didn't even see that.
I'll show it to you after.
Yeah, is but 12-year-olds can make some good videos now.
There's the other thing with his Achilles heel. That is the Achilles heel on Donald Trump. He can't let it go. Like, they're like, Trump University was a horrible thing. He'd have been like, yeah, you know what? I thought I could do it, and I'm going to have to reevaluate it. But, yeah, I'm going to have to make it right with those people. Mm-hmm. Boom, moving on. But he's like, no, the Better Business Bureau said it was great, and they didn't. He's like, we have an A rating. And they're like, no, you don't. He just needs to move on.
Pretty much.
Yes, it failed. And I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I would rather have a dude who's like, I tried all these businesses. Some of them failed. I learned, like, Bush, George W. was a baseball guy and, like, was losing money, blah, 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 blah. I don't know who Ted Cruz has ever hired. I don't know who John Kasich, John Kasich. You know, he hired a postman to come in there and help put new spark plugs in a tour for a diploma.
I just really need to know, how did John Kasich turn into Forrest Gump?
I don't know. Jenny, I'm John Kasich. I know what
Trump
love is.
Trump definitely doesn't have all the successful businesses that Obama had when he came in. So I'll give you that.
Creak, 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 creak.
Yep.
There's, I got one more, Michaeltopia, and then we'll get out of here. In Michaeltopia, fat people don't get complimentary electric scooters at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I am tired of this. Like, if you are just too fat to walk to the grocery store, I think that's God telling you you don't need to go to the grocery store. You might want to live on some of those extra calories your body stored up.
You don't need a scooter. You are the guy who kind of needs to walk a couple pounds off.
I would think. I've always thought about this, and this is more of a serious note. I want to wrap up the show, but I've always thought about, remember that show Maury Povich?
Yep.
And Maury would always have the fat people who couldn't get out of the room. They'd have to chop out a wall and forklift them out.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
Like, how do you get that fat? If you're so big, this is a real thought. I mean, there's nothing really
funny
here.
You got to work at that, I would think.
You can't. You're trapped in your bed. Someone is giving you that food. Someone is doing that. Isn't that attempted murder? In Michaeltopia, it is. Boom. See how I brought it all back around?
So I can actually give you a happy note on that topic.
Yay.
To go out on. There are two people who are married, and they're both 800 pounds. This week, the news story came out. They are trying to lose the weight so they can have sex with each other for the first time.
That's beautiful.
I know, right?
And in Michaeltopia, we're rooting for them. That is the Loftus Party
for
this week.
That's the craziest.
That's beautiful. That's love. Let's lose that weight and get it on.
You're too fat.
It's the Loftus Party where love is alive. Ugh. See you next time.
Barely.
With the it's breathing. People. It's moving.
They're so fat. There.
It's going to be hot.